Email latedebate@rte.ie.
Hello again, still with us, Neasa Harrigan, Green Party TD for Dublin Central, Gino Kenny, People Before Profit TD for Dublin Midwest, and Violet Ann Wynne, who's joining us from our Limerick studio tonight after an ordeal on the bus, is an independent TD for Clare, and Tadhg McNally is political reporter with the Irish Examiner. Tadhg, to you first on this, Oireachtas members discussing the final report of the Joint Committee on Assisted Dying in the Dáil this evening. They published their report back in March, but just run us through maybe some of the detail of that. What was under discussion today?
Yeah, so the report was published a couple of months ago now at this stage. So that came out in March, as you said, and it recommended to for the government to legislate in limited circumstances for assisted dying. It came up with a couple of... you know, the limited circumstances were that it could only be for if somebody has 6 months left to live with an incurable disease, or this could be further out to 12 months if it was a neurodegenerative disease. And there was also restrictions around that the illness should, you know, cause suffering that the person finds intolerable. There were also some recommendations around making sure people couldn't be coerced into going into assisted dying, and, you know, making sure doctors and nurses are all trained to recognise coercive behaviour, and if someone is being coerced, and things around tests being put in place to make sure that that if someone's capacity was in doubt, that they could people could be recognised, or somebody lost capacity for decision making for a period of time, any process on assisted dying would be put on hold until our capacity is returned. So the debate itself was a short enough debate. I think it was about just over an hour. There were a couple of contributors, obviously Gino, chief among them, as he was vice chair of the committee. And there was, you know, discussions. There was mainly opposition.
Yeah, it was mainly
opposition. Except probably from yourself, I think.
And David Cullinan.
Yeah.
Right. And the Taoiseach to Micheál Martin in favour of, was it a free vote in his own party?
Yeah, so it looks at the minute like this is going to be voted on next Wednesday, the voting block. Fianna Fáil have already definitely said that it's going to be a free vote for all of its TDs. I think Micheál Martin himself has said that he's not in favour of it. I think Fine Gael is looking at a free vote as well. Sinn Féin will be whipped. We're not 100% sure on their stance as of yet. I think we'll probably find that out in advance of the vote. A free vote. I'm not entirely sure how it's going to go, you know, given the response we had today. You know, a lot of people warning caution, but again, this isn't a vote to legislate. It's just a motion on the final report itself, and it's likely that any kind of move to legislate on this would have to happen in the next Dáil. If we're only, you know, 2 or 3 weeks left in this Dáil, it's not enough time to do any kind of legislate on this. And, you know, one of the things actually that David Cullinan was calling for is a really, really long period of pre-legislative scrutiny, a really detailed pre-legislative scrutiny, to make sure that, you know, any bill that is that does come before the Oireachtas and that is drafted has, you know, a very solid foundation.
Okay, probably a pragmatic approach there in terms of, you know, giving a vote of conscience or a free vote. We've seen on other issues where I suppose there's an ethical issue that people have strong feelings on at play, notably abortion, that parties can frequently lose TDs. Micheál Martin saying that he favoured a free vote, but he, as you say, had serious reservations about it. Gino Kenny, I suppose it'd be fair to say you got the ball rolling on this particular issue. How far away is the country, do you think, from legislating on assisted dying? And do you agree with David Cullinan on his call for lengthy pre-legislative scrutiny to make sure that it's looked at from all angles and all risks would be fully discussed?
Yeah, no, I would agree that, you know, if legislation was put forward again in the next Dáil, that it would be kind of scrutinised and gone over. Absolutely no problem with that. I think we're a number of years away from legislation in Ireland. You look at what's happening in Britain at the moment, there's going to be a free vote on the 29th of November in terms of assisted dying legislation. And where I
would
think,
your own? I mean, you're in favour of it in certain circumstances.
Yeah.
In terms of the pre-legislative scrutiny, where would your own main reservations be? Where do you think the greatest cause for caution and oversight is?
I think probably coercion. I think that's probably the biggest kind of concern I would have. But I think if once safeguards are put in place, I think that can be detected. And once that is detected, I think then that could be prevented. And we've seen other jurisdictions, particularly New Zealand and Australia, where they've, you know, put legislation forward in terms of safeguards, in terms of, you know, coercion, and largely doesn't happen. There's very, very little evidence that somebody is coerced into taking probably one of the most fundamental and profound choices that you could ever do.
Okay.
You know?
Violet Ann Wynne, to you on this. What's your own view on the issue of assisted dying? And, you know, the report is out. It's within certain circumstances. It's people over the age of 18 and 6 months left to live with an incurable, irreversible, advanced and progressive condition. That's what's being debated at the moment, as opposed to the general idea of assisted dying.
Yeah, and I think looking at the report and the number of recommendations that was included, it is very limited, which is a bit reassuring, I suppose, because, you know, this type of legislation would require a huge amount of safeguarding, especially for, you know, vulnerable individuals. There is that concern around coercion, as Gino has mentioned himself, but there's also other concerns there. And I suppose just looking at the recommendations, there's a number of outstanding pieces, I suppose, that need to be put in place before this could be realised in a safe way. And I think, look, when it comes to people who have, you know, those limited or those conditions where they only have 6 months to live, you know, I'd be compassionate enough to be able to realise that they would need the choice, I suppose would be the best way to say it. But yeah, the recommendations, the optional protocol is a precondition of the commencement. So that's noteworthy, even though they've kind of made their decision to accede. I was looking for a bit of clarification on the floor of the Dáil this evening from the Tánaiste, because seemingly there's an instrument that has to actually be signed and then has to be given to the Secretary General of the UN, and then after which 30 days the ratification of the optional protocol is then in effect. Didn't really get that clarification today, which was very strange, very interesting interaction altogether. But also there's, you know, recommendation number 32, that's a deal breaker, an independent body to oversee and to govern, you know, this kind of a huge legislation. I think the Irish Examiner poll was quite interesting. It shows pretty much across the board that every, you know, area is over 50% in support, but Munster, my own area, is the lowest at 54% in support. So I think, you know, I've received an awful lot of lobbies as well urging me to not vote in favour of this kind. I think people don't, you know, didn't really understand that it's not legislation in itself, it's just the motion on the report. But it just showed, I suppose, how mobilised people became about this issue. And I think, you know, all points and opinions are relevant and important to take on board.
Yeah, I might just run to the poll. Like, this came out, it was last September, the September just gone that we did it, which found that it was 57% of people in rural Ireland would be in favour of legislating for assisted dying, compared to just 21% of people who would be opposed. You know, it's a broadly fairly liberal consensus among rural Ireland, which I would have been surprised about that whenever I initially read it. You know, considering that 58% of people who responded to the poll said that they were religious, whereas, you know, 26% that they weren't. So it does show that there are attitudes changing on this in Ireland. And I think that they're, you know, with this report that we now have, a very detailed report as well, it will be interesting to see sort of how the government does take this on in the next term, because I think there will be a little bit of pressure.
The leader of the Catholic Church in Ireland, Archbishop Eamon Martin, calling on people to lobby politicians to oppose this. But just Nelson Harrigan, on the issue of coercion that both Violet Ann and Gino have raised, you know, you look at a situation like domestic violence and it's very hard to detect coercion. Sometimes it's been going on for years under the radar. Can people really be trained to be guaranteed to spot coercion?
I think it's fiendishly difficult legislation to create. I think it's worthwhile legislation to create. I think it mirrors a lot of the conversations we've been having in this country for the last 10 or 15 years, which is around people's right to their own body, right? And I think most people, when they think about assisted dying, and it's often around the kitchen table conversations, and that's why, you know, it's heartening to hear that it's over the 50% of people who are open to this idea. I think it's not so much death that I think changes people's opinion here. It's the idea of a bad death, a death that you have no control over, but you know is coming. And I think Irish people really understand that. And I think it is possible to put in safeguards. Look, during the lifetime of this government, I've been on the Health Committee and the Subcommittee on Mental Health doing the Mental Health Reform Bill. And it's very similar, some of the conversations around, you know, how can the state create structures when people are at their most vulnerable? It is incredibly, incredibly difficult. And the risk and
adequately resource, yeah, over a consistent period of time.
Absolutely. And then scrutinise it afterwards for, you know, consistently over the lifetime of any implementation of a bill like that. But I think it's a conversation we have to have. I welcome the bishops suggesting that people contact their GD, because we want to hear opinions on this. We want to have that conversation. And I actually would love if it less of a top-down pronouncement, but if we could actually have a conversation with, sure, with you know, the bishops and all of those people, because it's not 57% of people are religious and the rest think something different. There's a duality in the conversation here.
What about the argument, Gino Kenny? And you can all come in on this once Gino has given his views on it, but it's passed, the principle is conceded, people can choose assisted dying in limited circumstances, and then it incrementally creeps to greater circumstances until it's like some countries like the Netherlands, where it becomes broader and physicians become very concerned and older people feel it will get to a point where there'll be an expectation on vulnerable people to go for an early death rather than become a quote-unquote a burden. And that's not my view. Yeah. That's the fear that they would be viewed as such. Yeah. And that, again, that I'm not expressing my opinion.
I'm trying
to sum up an argument that's been made.
Mm. No, I mean, obviously, like we discussed this today in the Dáil about, you know, words that kind of are, you know, they conflate the issue around suicide and this is dying, very unhelpful. And I do acknowledge that some other jurisdictions' assisted dying laws are a bit more liberal than others. But if you look at the state of Oregon introduced assisted dying in the mid-90s, and the legislation and the kind of the criteria for those that could avail of assisted dying has not changed whatsoever. Same with most of the states in Australia, New Zealand, and some countries now in Europe. I do concede that some countries like Canada, which there's a proposal to include mental health on the grounds of mental health, I'd be very, very uncomfortable with that.
Okay.
Very uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, I have to say, being from the Midwest region, and, you know, we have such limited access to healthcare as it is, and we're suffering greatly with vacancy rates and all of that. So I think putting that into perspective, you know, the people that have reached out to me, even face to face, you know, they have mentioned these concerns. You know, they wouldn't have much confidence in this current government, and, you know, it's yet to be seen what the next government will look like in delivering this kind of legislation, being able to implement, as you said, fully resource it. So, I mean, there would be a massive job of work that would need to be done with our health system before anyone would feel that we're at that place where, you know, that we can regain trust again, maybe. This is such a sensitive issue as well. I've had a few parents, you know, relay their concerns about expansion. And, you know, it's important to have that as part of the conversation now, so that we can can abate any of those real concerns, because when it becomes about children as well, it's I suppose nerve-wracking for some parents who would see that their children would be seen. As you have said, you know, this wouldn't be my view either, but maybe slightly a burden, maybe.
Okay, and as I say, the current proposals don't allow for that, but you know, people make that argument about a slippery slope. Nyasa Hurrigan?
I think it's important to remember that we make our laws, and every jurisdiction comes to a particular issue and develops a piece of legislation that's right for us, that's right for our communities, that makes sense for us and we're comfortable with. In a similar way for the conversations that we've had, let's say, around repeal in the past, I don't think...
I suppose the argument is, though, that the ethical considerations that would constrain us today may evolve due to the change that this legislation would bring about.
Well, it's us who will have evolved. You know, it's us as a society. We make our laws. And I think, you know, in some of these conversations, we talk about maybes and worst case scenarios and possibilities. But where we actually gain value and push forward is when we base it on lived experiences. And if you look at who has championed this particular even an idea of this legislation or the first beginnings of this legislation, it's people who have lived and walked this road and who have been in a situation, relatively young people, who are facing a death that seems very difficult and that they want to have a little bit more control over. And I can understand that, and I have compassion for that.
Okay, we'll no doubt return to this and get more views on it.